Our lesson aims to understand that a New Testament church moves forward by faith in God. That's how we move forward. That's how we accomplish a work for the Lord, is by our faith in God, by trusting Him, by looking to Him. And to learn that faith is looking unto Jesus. That a church filled with faith keepers, or filled with faith, keeps its eyes always on the Lord. And to see that there is no limit to what God can do in and through a church that is exercising faith in Him. Then to show that our motive as a church must always be obedience to Jesus Christ. Then to remain true to biblical methods and by faith take the gospel to those that are lost. Then in our lessons, lesson 13 we're on, the faith of the first century church. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. What a testimony these folks had. When people think of you and I and they see you and I, what do they think of? Well, right now, if they see me at work, they see a guy walking around with a stack of 3x5s in his hand talking to himself or to someone that they don't see anywhere. But as long as the line's running and things are going okay, I'm not sure what they think about me, but I pace that shop floor walking and talking out loud. It's a blessed opportunity, it really is, to get those verses and to hide them down in my heart. Who knows, maybe the Lord would use me. Maybe the Lord would use you to do something great for Him. My prayer for my children is that they would be great for God and never know it. Never know it. But that they'd be great for God, that they'd live lives before Him. That they'd be great for God and never know it. But somehow when you know it, then pride comes. Pride's not far away, is it? At least not with me. I've got to watch for it all the time. The faith of the first century church, that faith delivered to you and I, we take forward and we proclaim to a lost and dying world. Throughout the New Testament, we find that the first century church moved forward by faith. They moved forward by faith. The New Testament church is not a national church. It is a local church of New Testament believers that have trusted Christ as their Savior, that have been baptized, and that have joined themselves together for the purpose of glorifying God and furtherance of the gospel. That's what the New Testament church is. It is a local church. It's a local church, not a national church. The faith of the first century church is mentioned time and time again in God's Word. Kelly Dye, would you read 2 Corinthians 8:7? I'd like someone to read 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Who would do that for me? Brian? And Brian, read, and then you'll also read 6 and 7 in there. And then 2 Thessalonians 1:3, someone? Tracy? And then 1:3 and 11 also, Tracy. And then Romans 1:8, who'd read that for me? Judy Lape. So I'm gonna call your name from this podium, because I need to be able to say your names when I'm standing up here, not just when I'm not. Kelly? So the faith of the first century church is mentioned time and time again in Scripture. So these are the verses we're looking at, the faith of the first century church. Okay, then 1 Thessalonians. Okay. Pardon? Okay, we see their faith there. We see their faith demonstrated there. And then 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 and 11. Okay, see the faith there. And then verse 11. I'm sorry. Okay, and then Romans 1:8. I forgot who got that one. Judy Lape. Amen. So we see the faith that was once delivered to them, and that they are... that they are now passing on to us. We see that faith, the faith of the first century church, that same faith is what we proclaim today. The faith of the first century church provides a pattern for us today. Remember, our faith is a treasured heritage. It is not a contemporary experiment. Look in your mega churches today, and that's all it is. What works to bring people through that door? It is not what works to get people into heaven. It's what works to bring people through that door. If I can make this like the world inside this church, then the world will come because they feel comfortable here. So our faith is a treasured heritage. Not a contemporary experiment. The Bible definition of faith is looking unto Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Turn with me if you would, please. Hebrews 12, 2. This author talks about faith in a way that I don't think I've heard anybody else talk about it before. Hebrews 12:2. The Bible definition for faith is looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. That's what faith is, looking unto Christ. There is no cap, no limit that man knows to be placed on a church that will look unto Jesus Christ. The famous quote by D.L. Moody, Kelly, can you get it? The quote by D.L. Moody that sounds almost just like this. By the grace of God, what did he say? That the world has yet to see what a man totally given to God could do. And he said, by the grace of God, I'll be that man. I'll be that man that totally gives my life to the Lord Jesus Christ and see what he could do. The church with faith in God brings to their ministry what God alone can accomplish in them and through them. Our purpose as Christians is to glorify God, to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our purpose for existence, is to glorify Him. In that are many different things: soul winning, personal time with Him, reading His Word, memorizing His Word, each day taking a few moments to pause and look at those old reminders from a faithful friend. God's Word to us, new every day. The same book, but new to us every day. Why? Because it's alive, and the Spirit makes it live in us. New to us every day. We take those times. God is only real to us as we faith Him. I've never heard anybody say it that way before. We say as we trust Him, as we love Him, as we... He says as we faith Him. Trust would be a verb, right? English teachers. That faith would also be the same. Same part of speech. You've just never heard it said that way. Usually there's a preposition in there and a couple of maybe some articles or whatever, but there's other stuff there. But I've never heard it said that way. God is only real to us as we faith Him. Definition of faith, our author is saying, is Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. The more we use the language of Scripture, the less miscommunication we have. The more we use the language of Scripture, we should stick to this language. This language is classic. When the world watches Charlie Brown at Christmas time, although they have cut it out sometimes in the past, they've actually taken that clip right out, but they hear what is it, Psalm, when he quotes, what does he quote? That virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. And they actually quote that, and it's classic. I just love hearing that said. I just love hearing that read before the whole world. I hope those guys don't leave that out very often. I don't see the Christmas specials used to have kids. Have you ever watched that and you just hear that classic scripture and you think, how beautiful that is, and it's being proclaimed across the world. By the way, if one of you hear that this year and they cut it out, let me know, if you would, please. We'll shoot off a letter to them and tell them if they can't play it in its entirety, because that's the way He would have wanted it played. You don't cut out God's Word and then play the rest of it at Christmas time. Come on. Was that a hobby horse? Is that what you call that? Sorry. Okay. Sorry about that. It's God's Word. We don't rip it down off over our doors. We bought a Praise the Lord house once. A woman up against it with children, no husband, no place to live, and God gave her a new home. They built one for her. Praise the Lord, it's right over the door. We moved into the Praise the Lord house when she moved to Florida. And we were there a number of years. And it was a blessing. When we left, it was still over the door, and the people after us took it down. I thought, wow. Wow. I would not have had the nerve to rip that off of that house. Because He's God. It's God's Word. Many times in the church we pray, we may think because we have gone through the motions of prayer that we have faith in God. This type of prayer cannot be substituted for faith. We must be a believing church exercising faith in God. I can't get off the first page before that time. If we are not people of faith, we will not accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. The membership of a believing church, the idea most people have today is never to really join in a church, simply to attend. Maybe attend on a Sunday morning. Maybe not make Sunday school, not make Sunday evening, not make Wednesday evening. This isn't the idea of a church. It's where we come and we totally give our lives. And as Pastor says, I'm saying this to you guys, and you guys are here. But a church is not a smorgasbord where we go and we pick out, let's see, I'll take Sunday morning, maybe a Sunday night. That's not what it is. It is a total life. It is a total life. And yes, we grow in that. Thank God we're not where we were 9 months ago. And thank the Lord that we'll be at a different place 9 months from now. We'll grow in that, but it's a whole package. It's not just pick what you want, pick what I want. It's not what it is. In the New Testament, believers identified with a local assembly. Acts 4:23 and 9:26, we see there them coming into town and we see them joining themselves to a local assembly in those two references. It is important, membership of the church, that all of us understand that there are certain things that should characterize each member of a believing church. The testimony we have as a church family is that we attempt what God wants us to attempt, and we trust God to bring it to pass. Is there anything that we can't attempt for God that God has spoken to our hearts and said, you need to do this, and you think that's big? That's bigger than me. That's bigger than my spiritual walk. That's bigger than what I've ever done for you, Lord. God says we do those things, we do those things. Can you pray for 10 minutes every day in the morning, or depending what your shift is, can there be that those few moments of time to a couple of verses every day? Can we have that? Have we tried in the past? Yes. Have we failed in the past? Yes. But we keep going. We can do great things for God if we'll just let Him work in our lives. We just need to trust Him, and He'll bring it to pass. The motive of the believing church, what motivates us? It can never be a building, crowds, numbers. There's only one motivation that will please the Lord. All of our motives must be judged by that one motive. It comes in the definition of faith. The definition of faith, according to Hebrews 12:2, is looking unto Jesus. The definition of faith, looking unto Jesus. The motive of a believing church is obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we following after Him? Are we pleasing Him? Are we doing what He wants us to do? Have we looked at the instruction booklet? Read the instructions. Ever put a $30 cabinet together from Walmart? How can it possibly take 2 hours to do that? There's only 7 pieces. But when you read the instructions, it just seems like it takes forever. And when you don't, like putting a wagon together, once you push that one washer onto that rod, it doesn't come off. You got to have it right the first time. Instruction booklet is so important. So important. In a believing church, the motive is always the Lord Jesus Christ. Honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorifying Jesus Christ. There's a refining process going on in our lives on a daily basis. 2 Corinthians 12, and specifically in verse 10, we saw that Paul spoke of the necessities, the distresses, the persecutions, the reproach. Why does the Lord allow these things? Is it because he delights in bringing them into our lives? No, certainly not. It's because he is refining us so that our motives will always remain the person of Jesus Christ. He is refining us. You bring that heat in and it refines. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Of his good pleasure. Is that your prayer? Is that your desire when you get up in the morning? Lord, I want to honor you in my life today. Is that your prayer before you start out? It should be. A church with eyes on Christ will always keep him as their motive. It is his strength we need, and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we come to the end of our rope and we can't go any farther, do we tie a knot and hang on, or do we, as the Chinese missionary, when he was just totally worn out from the ministry, says he collapsed in the arms of Jesus. And the Lord renewed his strength. He collapsed in the arms of Jesus. He was just worn out. Then the methods of the believing church. As a church, we must also give consideration to our methods. Many church leaders are doing nearly anything to get a crowd to attend. What methods should we use? Means may change, but our methods must not. Our message and our methods must always be biblical. I recently viewed something about a church. Maybe, I don't know if they were trying to pass themselves off as, no, certainly they weren't trying to pass themselves off as a fundamentalist church, but they were coming into our crowd. And I saw the pastor say, "I have 150 dancers. Dancers. Girls moving their body in a sensual way." And he stood there and he said, "I'll do whatever it takes to bring people into this church." His mode of thinking to get them into heaven. He said, "I'll do whatever it takes. I'll have dancers on my platform." Nope, that's not the way we build a church. Our message and our methods must always be right. They must always be right. Members of a church of faith in God take the gospel to the ends of the earth. They go into the highways and the hedges, and they find those who are hurting, and they tell them about God, who can heal their hurting hearts. They're obedient to Christ, and they trust God to give the increase. The first century church took seriously what Christ said and moved forward in obedience to him. The faith of the first century church, it's a treasured heritage that you hold. I hope you look at it that way every day. And don't let them remove the ancient landmarks. Sure, the scripture there is talking about the properties that would be passed down from generation to generation. But I think we use that many times as a spiritual application. Don't let them remove the ancient landmarks in your life. Because they'll try to. Does that really mean that? Is that really what? Don't remove them. Thank you for being here. We've got Kelly Dye. Would you pass out the books? We're going to start our new lesson next week. The way back to God. I dare say there are more than one people in this church that are not serving God in their lives. That probably, possibly, don't even wake up in the morning and think, Lord, what am I going to do for you today? They need to get back to God. Maybe you'll invite them out. Somebody that's not here, somebody that you're thinking, boy, they could sure benefit from this. Listen, David's wickedness and his sin, when he bowed the knee before a holy God and he confessed his sin, God's blessing was there and just poured out on him. Folks that aren't here, they can be here. If they think, I'm just not, you know, I just can't do it. Yeah, you can. David did. David did after all the sin and wickedness he did. He turned to God. Invite your friends out. They'll benefit from God's word, I'm sure. Thank you very much.